There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good morning, indeed. Yes, I know. I agree. Howdy. Hello. Have at, bud. It's your day. All right, that one felt personal. That last one felt personal.
And unpersonal, just facts, yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome in the Rob Brown Show. On your radio, it is the Fan Upstate.
Uh-huh. Someone's feeling scratchy and someone's feeling saucy.
It is a day for Chiefs Kingdom to revel. It is a day for Chiefs Kingdom to let all the rest of y'all hear about it. I gotta tell you, I don't know what to tell you. Josh Allen had a chance last night to put himself into the annals of history, to have a glory moment. And I'm going to tell you, the name I have not heard so far this morning. I have heard Patrick Mahomes, rightfully so. I have heard Xavier Worthy. You think the Bills a couple of times last night were like, yo, why the hell we let them have that guy? Why do we trade down and let him? I think at this point, it should be relatively obvious that if you're about to draft a dude and the phone rings and it's the Kansas City Chiefs making you an offer because they want that dude, you should take that dude. If the Chiefs want that dude, you should want that dude
at this point. Thank you, Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, if the Chiefs want that dude, you should take that dude. I don't know what to tell you. We're going to talk a lot about the AFC and NFC championship games because, look, I thought it was, by and large, a good game last night. But there are some aspects of it that I think we need to spend a little bit more time talking about. The first, and Zoe, I don't know if you'll go with me on this one. I think that the storyline of the game last night, to me, was that, and this should be shocking to exactly and precisely nobody, the Chiefs coaching staff were in circles around the Bills last night. I mean, circles around them. And it is Andy Reid, but it's not even Andy Reid. You know who won you that game last night? Steve Spagnuolo.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. In the second half, the Bills realized that Josh Allen couldn't win the game for them, but the running game could. And that's what they started doing. If they would have been able to continue running the ball the way they were for the entire second half, they would have won the game. But Spagnuolo figured out a way to stop it and put it in Josh Allen's hands, and Josh Allen could not beat the Chiefs.
There were a couple of things that jumped out. Number one, Steve Spagnuolo last night did what I've been begging defensive coordinators to do, which is figure out the tendencies and then blitz that spot. Don't figure out the tendencies and then play a base defense to that area. Figure out the tendency and then get there. And last night what they saw was that in pressure situations, and this makes sense, but in pressure situations, Josh Allen was not comfortable even in the pocket, even when the Chiefs were bringing a base four. Josh Allen was rolling out to his right constantly. I'm going to tell you right now, I love Josh Allen. It's not hiding it. I like Josh Allen a lot. I'm a big fan. But
no way.
I'm going to point out that Josh Allen, from drive number one last night, Josh Allen was tense. And you could see it on that opening drive. And I do put a lot of this on Sean McDermott. I put a lot of this on the Bills coaching staff. The opening drive for the Buffalo Bills last night felt aimless, right? It didn't feel like there was an intent. It didn't feel like there was a pointed attack. It didn't feel like they had a game plan. It felt like, and this will get you killed in the National Football League, it felt to me like the Bills offense was going to go out there and play on vibes, man, right? Like, it felt to me like this team thought, we're just going to go out there, we're going to see what the Chiefs are, and then we're just going to kind of make it up as we go. And that's going to get you killed. Come in with a plan. And it felt to me like the Bills were aimless. On the flip side of the ball, both sides of the flip side of the ball, offensively, defensively for Kansas City, it felt to me like they knew what they wanted to do. They had a plan of attack. They did it. And on top of all of that, and this is true about Kansas City and Philadelphia both, the two teams headed to the Super Bowl in New Orleans, Louisiana. It felt to me like both of these teams that won the games, Philly and Kansas City, bro, they were just the more physical football teams. It just felt to me like they were the more physical football teams. It felt like they were more physical at the point of attack on the offensive and defensive line, which makes sense because both of these teams have placed an emphasis on building up the line of scrimmage, right? Go look at what the Eagles have done over the last couple of years. Jason Kelce retires. What do? They go get a new Pro Bowl guy to fill in at the center spot. And even when he's hurt, and this I think is the other thing, it's a mentality thing, it's a vibes thing. Even when they find themselves in a spot where guys are getting banged up, those guys are going off and they're finding ways to get back into the game. There's a lot of nitpicking I'm going to do about Buffalo. Let's start with Washington for a second because I don't need to spend a bunch of time on that. Lonzo Washington just didn't have the dogs yesterday. Good football team, great story, fun narrative. Yeah. They just didn't have the dogs.
It was a team who you hear got somewhere too early. They obviously got there too early.
Totally agree.
And if Dan Quinn and those guys continue to grow that team, that's going to be an amazing team. They just got there too early, and they went up against a veteran team who's been there quite a bit in the last decade. I think they were just out-talented.
They were just out-talented.
Yeah.
Somebody made this point last night. I don't remember who it was. Somebody was doing a reaction video, and they said one of the things you kind of look at is, you know, when we have games like this, we do the unit-by-unit matchups, right? Like who's got the better DBs, who's got the better quarterback, who's got the better running backs, who's got the better offensive line. We do all that. They said, I like to take it one step further and look at the teams and go, okay, at any given position, how many guys from one team would be a starter on the other team? And normally, the team that wins is the team that is going to, and I don't know that this is true. I haven't done the research on this. It was kind of one of those spots where I'm like, all right, that's an interesting take, and I'll take you at face value until I can kind of sit down and actually do the work. And on top of that, obviously, would X be a starter over Y on any given team is to some degree subjective. And that, you know, it's kind of a base level conversation where you don't really establish, okay, in that offense or in this offense, you know, if it's a run heavy offense, this offense, whatever. But generally speaking, You know, you can get a look around at the rosters and go, all right, I think, you know, so many of these guys would be starters on that team, and so many guys on this team would be starters over there. If you look last night at the rosters of Kansas City and Buffalo, I would say if I was going to, like, draft the best possible team and my resource pool was Buffalo and Kansas City, I'd probably end up with, like, a pretty good mix of team of guys from both teams, right? Like, it might have a lean 55% over here, 45% over there. Maybe on some real good teams, like 60% to 40% of the starters. If I was to do that with Washington and Philly, I think we would probably have like 15% of the starters of a draft team between those two squads. Like 15% would have come from the Commanders. They're just not as good. And it's unsurprising, right? This is a team in the Washington Commanders that has been mired over the years by Dan Quinn, by bad ownership, by ownership who cared more about, you know, themselves enjoying the benefits of ownership than the team. It's a team that transitioned away from a head coach. It's a team that transitioned to a new head coach who a lot of people had questions about. There's a lot that the Commanders were behind the eight ball, which is why I think it is fair to say this morning, the Washington Commanders were a better story than they were football team. And I bought in, but I also bought in because I love a plucky underdog, right? I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. I've been trained from birth to love the plucky underdog. And they were fun to watch. And on top of that, Jaden Daniels is my dog. I like that guy a lot. So I was pulling for them, but I said on Bet for the Cycle on Saturday, I'm like, realistically speaking, I'll throw a money line bet at the Commanders to win this game just because I think it's a fun story and like, what a narrative if they find a way to win this thing. But realistically speaking, Philadelphia is a better football team. And I'm not talking about better as in like they do this or that. I mean, just better. They're just a better team. It's a better roster. I wouldn't say better coached. I still don't believe in Nick Sirianni. Hard to say I don't believe in a guy who's going to his second Super Bowl in 3 years, but I don't believe in Nick Sirianni, which, by the way, is the reason, yeah, we're 2 weeks out, but anybody picking against the Chiefs today? I'm not, because they're going to do, I think, to Philly.
Philly's pretty scary, dude. That was a scary showing.
And seven offensive touchdowns on the ground.
Again, you could look at it that it has to do with who they were playing, and maybe it does. But you got two really good defenses in the Super Bowl.
You sure do. And we're going to get to that. I mean, we got 2 weeks to break this down. We're going to get to all of it, but
you know what? I mean, how am I supposed to pay attention? 14 days between games?
Well, you're down to 13 now.
I mean, I don't understand how they can do this and expect people to pay attention. I mean, why not play it the next week? I don't get, you know, there needs to be a committee. They need to fix this. Because obviously this is a problem.
In fairness to my Saturday co-host Cody Decker and his co-host Michelle Beadle, they did both go out of their way to specifically mention that the NFL's a different breed of cat. You know, the NFL's its own entity, and yeah. I don't think that's incorrect.
Yeah, no, it is incorrect. It's still more days between the super. I mean, the championship games and the Super Bowl than it is. For college, it just is. And they're just not college guys.
Oh, I agree with that. They're not college guys. But also, they ended up being right. We did have, again, we can come back to this, but like, they did lose 12% of their viewership in college football from the semis or from last year's Natty to this year.
The Super Bowl is not going to lose that, even with all the haters.
No, of course it's not.
Because it's the Super Bowl.
But also we've been trained.
It's an event,
right?
They haven't made the national championship game in college an event yet. The way that they do the Super Bowl.
That's also very fair. We haven't been trained for it yet. We'll come back to that later in the show, because I think it's a worthwhile discussion to have. As far as these games yesterday go, and obviously we're going to spend the majority of the morning talking about these games. As far as these games go, I don't think it's really going to take all that. I don't think we need to spend a time talking Philly-Washington. Like, we can, because obviously what the Eagles did and didn't do factors into what they can and can't do in the Super Bowl.
Come on, dude. Saquon Barkley. Like I said Friday, that dude is hungry, and he wants to see. You could tell. I mean, it wasn't just about his number being called. It's what he did when his number was called. That was an amazing performance by him.
He just keeps doing it, right? Like, that, they just keeps doing it.
So imagine being on a losing team forever and then getting on. It's the same thing that a lot of these guys like Nuke Hopkins and guys like that, when they come on to the Chiefs, same feeling for Saquon going to Philly, going to a winning team when all you've done is play on a losing team your entire career. That would reinvigorate you and let you know, hey, I am as good as I thought I was. I was just surrounded by people who weren't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what I saw last night was enough to say that the Commanders are, again, they're a fun story. They were a fun narrative. I was all in. I was bought in because, like I said, I love a plucky underdog. I was given, on Saturday's show, I was given flowers to Dan Quinn because Dan Quinn is a dude that I lambasted after he left Atlanta. And I think to some degree it kind of turns out that, like, maybe the Falcons have a foundational issue in their program. And we can address that during the offseason. I was blaming a lot of that on Dan Quinn, and it's like maybe it wasn't on Dan Quinn exclusively. I think Dan Quinn deserved his flowers. I think that Jaden Daniels obviously deserved his flowers. A lot of what this team, this Commanders team, was able to do this year, they were able to do because Jaden Daniels is an absolute dog, and we got to give him some flowers. I think when it came down to it, the Commanders are, I'm going to honestly, like I've been saying all morning as I was kind of doing show prep and putting everything together. I've been saying all morning, like, oh, the Commanders were a year ahead of schedule. Honestly, looking at that roster, now that, you know, hindsight being what it is, and 12 hours later, having the opportunity to kind of sit back and digest what happened yesterday a little bit, I think the Commanders might have been 2 years ahead of schedule. I think they're two, maybe more years ahead of schedule. I think they overachieved by a couple of years. I think this team has got, I think they need probably, like, two good drafts and two good free agency classes in order to genuinely say they're ready to compete with the Eagles or the Lions. Because, again, if the Lions are fully healthy, they're not beating Detroit at the crib. They're not going to Detroit and winning that game. Props to them for beating the Detroit Lions. Props to them for going up there and going up against the dominant defense, even banged up, and getting the win. But they're probably 2 years out ahead of schedule. And it may, now that the tape's out on this team and on Jaden Daniels, they might catch up. But what it came down to in both of these games yesterday was that at least on the Philly-Washington side, I don't think Philadelphia necessarily out-coached Dan Quinn and the Commanders. What I do think is that they recognize what the case of the situation was. It, very simply, we're a stronger football team. We're a bigger, better, stronger football team. And what do you do when you're a bigger, better, stronger football team? Run the damn ball and play a blunt defense. And that's what they did in Kansas City versus Buffalo. I think Kansas City did something that Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo get credit for. They realize if we can make this game tight, Buffalo's going to clinch up. And if Buffalo clinches up, they start playing conservative, we're better than they are. You built a strong defense. You out-physicaled them at the point of attack. And you just waited for Sean McDermott and the Bills staff to make a mistake. And they did. How many times, and this is one of the things, I'm like yelling at my TV last night. How many times are you going to try to tush-push a 6'6", 250-pound quarterback into the best defensive tackle in football? It didn't work, and you kept going back to it. Would they end up like 4 of 12 on third down conversions?
Yeah, they thought they were Philadelphia. They are not.
Yeah. Do you know why the tush push works for Philly? Like, there's a lot of question marks about how do they do it. It's real simple. Watch when Philly runs the tush push. I want you to notice something.
It's the guy from behind that really does it. Because he picks up the quarterback and pushes him through.
Part of it. The other part of it is that if you watch it, Jalen Hurts does not stand up. The helmet goes, and I say this as, and it's going to sound like a joke, but I mean it almost literally. His head goes into the ass of the center, and he disappears in that pile. When you see the tush, watch a tush push from above from Philly. Like, find a sky cam angle, and what you will notice is that as soon as Jalen Hurts gets the ball,
He becomes invisible. He disappears. He's got guys on top of him. He is underneath the center. Guys collapse around him. They completely go. Do you know what Josh Allen does on a tush push? He takes the snap. He delays. He goes left, and he tries to tuck in behind the guard. And he does it every time. And they kept running it. The Chiefs know how to stop that, and they kept running it. Rarely do you see a team get into that type of game on the road with that much on the line, and the Buffalo Bills clenched up coal into diamond style last night. Sean McDermott, I said it last offseason, Sean McDermott's got to go because Andy Reid has again humiliated him. Now, Buffalo still had a chance to win the football game last night, but then Spag said, we know what we're going to do. Allen's going to roll to the right because he's been doing all night. They're going to try to sneak a backside tight end underneath it because they've done it all night. So we're going to call a backside linebacker man on. We're going to blitz off of our left, their right. We're going to go kick Josh Allen's ass. And what happened on that fourth down? A dude was just waiting for Josh Allen where Josh Allen was going to go, and he went there, and he ended up throwing a flail Mary. It was bad. Steve Spagnuolo humiliated Sean McDermott again. Obviously, we're going to talk about these games extensively throughout the day. He is Lonzo, headed for a three-peat in the big game TM. I am Rob Brown. We're talking ball on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Do the Chiefs have a theme song? I mean, because I would play it all morning just to annoy some people, but I don't know. I mean,
it's why are you? You're a Chiefs fan. Why are you asking me?
Because I never really thought
you're
about
supposed
it.
To know that.
I'm not used to being the heel. And so if I, you know, because I'm not used to being the heel, I don't know how to do these things that make people angry.
I'm not used to being the heel.
It was a rough week for me last week, being the straight up heel for an entire week. I mean, it was taxing. I needed to go listen to some mid-80s Lionel Richie, a little bit of Michael McDonald,
sure.
A little bit of some Christopher Cross,
sure.
You know, some sailing,
sure.
To get me back to where I normally am, and it was a tough road
get back. Little Yacht Rock will bring you back.
Yeah, I mean, it will.
Little Yacht Rock will bring you back.
It will take the heel right out of you.
I have some questions, and this might be, I don't intend for this to be hot takey, and I don't think it will be. If I'm Josh Allen, I want out of Buffalo right now. Honestly, if I'm Josh Allen, I want out of Buffalo right now.
You know what? If I'm Josh Allen, I want out of this decade. I want to go back a decade or forward a decade. We all in our lives have a nemesis, have someone that we just can't beat. And when I was in high school, there was a wrestler I could not beat. His name was Smith from North. It's been 40 years since I've been in high school.
That's a weird name to name your kid.
I remember, he went to North High School. His name was Smith.
Yes, bad joke.
The only time that I advanced in a tournament that he was in, he got food poisoning the night before and couldn't wrestle. That's
hell
the only
time. I'm team old meat.
Yeah, and so.
I don't like that I said that. I want that one back.
I see my son go through the same thing. There's one guy he could not beat. We've seen teams that could not beat that guy. You know, I've heard it mentioned like Malone and those guys. If Jordan wasn't there, they're probably winning championships. That's just, I mean, born in the wrong era is Josh Allen.
Let me tell you why I want out of Buffalo. I want out of Buffalo because I put last night, and I'm going to tell you why here in just a second. I put last night again, on the fact that Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo straight up ran circles around Sean McDermott and the Bills coaching staff. And that has just been this series. It has been this series. Now, you can hit me with, and I actually did mention this. I mentioned it at one point last week, but I know I talked about it multiple times on Bet for the Cycle on Saturday. The legacy of the series has been Josh Allen and the Bills keep getting the Chiefs in the regular season, and the Chiefs keep getting the Bills in the postseason. And there is a reason for that. And I think this reason was already something I was thinking about last week. And it is the reason that I did not have a dollar on this game as a gambler. And I didn't, honestly, I got away with not picking this game on the air last week. I think the only pick I made was I can't pick against the Chiefs in the playoffs against Josh Allen because you're going against the trend that's just lasted 5 years now. I just can't do it. Here's my thought here. The reason the Bills keep getting the Chiefs in the regular season and the reason the Chiefs keep getting the Bills in the postseason is the coaching. It is the fact that, and I've heard this said a bunch of times, and I kept thinking to myself, like, I don't think that that's true about the offense of the Chiefs. And I think last night I figured, oh, it's actually true about the defense of the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't go deep in the bag in the regular season. They go deep in the bag in the postseason. This is a team built for the postseason. This is a team that knows they're going to be in the postseason. They believe they're going to be in the postseason. And so they wait to really go deep in the bag. And I think our first thought, and this is just the experience and the tendencies of being a modern American football fan. Whenever we hear a thing about a team, our brains are immediately brought to the offensive side of the football, right? Oh, the Chiefs don't go deep in the bag. And we all start going, wait a minute, I've seen all these weird plays with Xavier Worthy and taking advantage of his talent. I've seen all of these plays where Travis Kelce isn't really the first option, but it's designed to get him open as the third, et cetera, et cetera. What I saw last night was a Chiefs defense that got deep into the bag and the Bills didn't know what to do with it, right? It has been Andy Reid and the coaching that has ran circles around the Buffalo Bills over and over. And here's my argument for that. Look at these team stats. Mahomes, 18 of 26, 245 and a touch. Allen, 22 of 34, 237 and two touches on the ground. The Kansas City rushing attack, 135 and three touchdowns. The Buffalo rushing attack, 147 and two touchdowns. Let's also point out that, and this we'll come back to this in a minute, Buffalo fumbled the ball four times. They got all four back. If one of those goes the other direction, this game's a lot uglier in the Chiefs' favor.
Chiefs, right? Fumbled and Buffalo got the ball.
The Chiefs had one fumble. Mahomes fumbled one time. Buffalo got the bill. So Kansas City ends up minus one in the turnover battle. Still wins the game. It could have been a lot worse. But let's look at it. Let's look at it from the team statistics. Okay, first downs. Kansas City ended up with 28 first downs to Buffalo's 22. Let's look at it on third down efficiency. The Chiefs only faced 9 third downs in this game. That's by picking up, moving the sticks on first and second. 9 first downs, they converted 5. The Bills were 5 of 14 on third down. Now, I'm bad at math, but that's a lot less than 50%. You've got to be around that 50% mark in order to be a good team on third down. They were 5 of 14 or higher if you can keep getting yourself into third and shorts, which is fine. Third and shorts are fine in the NFL. But 5 of 14, and a good chunk of the reason why was, as I talked about in the last segment, they kept getting into third downs. They kept trying the tush-push, except the problem is the tush-push works because it's a lot of tushes. It's Jalen Hurts who puts his face mask, and I'm not saying this to be like crude or whatever, but Jalen Hurts puts his face mask right into the bung of the center, and then every other guy collapses and starts pushing on him. Watch a Philly tush push. Jalen Hurts disappears. Josh Allen stands up, waits for the lines to contact, then he takes a step left and tries to wedge in between the center and the guard. But when you know that that is coming and the whole D-line collapses down onto you, that doesn't work. Doesn't matter how many guys you have pushing Josh Allen. When he is stood up at 6'7", 225 or whatever he goes, 6'6", 225, whatever he is, when he stood up, he becomes a target. He becomes a target that is easy to get. Hurts disappears. The profile of Hurts is minimized. The reason the tush push is so hard to stop is because you have so little of Jalen Hurts to hit. So wherever there's some space is going to open up. It's not going to be very much, but somewhere around the garden center, a space is going to open. And when Jalen Hurts is low to the ground, low profile, and vanishes into the mass of humanity, he is looking up and he's got the ability to go, bang, there's a spot and get into it. When Josh Allen stands up, going 6'6", he can't see where the space is. He's just got a wall of asses to run behind, and there's no space to go to get into that. And they kept going back to it. When the pressure was on, Spags know where Josh Allen was going to end up going, both because the Bills were on the same set of plays in the same situations, and Josh Allen's tendencies take over. So Spags was running guys where he knew Allen was going to be, and Allen kept being there. And they were able to rush him and hassle him. If I'm Josh Allen, I want out of Buffalo now, today. And I want out of Buffalo because no matter what I do here, I keep watching my team get completely outcoached. I would make the argument that last night, everything that Patrick Mahomes did, Josh Allen was doing too. The difference was Andy Reid and the Chiefs' offense kept putting Patrick Mahomes in the right place, and the Bills' coaching staff just got fooled, got outright made to look like clowns last night. And it keeps happening over and over, and the Bills won't make changes about it. Now, we can make the argument that, and I think I can, and I think I would, Kansas City's got better skill position talent around him. And that's another reason I want out of Buffalo, because the Kansas City Chiefs keep nailing the draft. Tyreek, Lonzo's pointed this out for a year and a half now. Tyreek leaves the team and everybody goes, that's it, the chefs are cooked. But what do? They go out there and they get Hollywood, a vet. They go out there and they get Xavier Worthy, a rook. That, BT Dubs, could have been a Bills. But Kansas City fleeced Buffalo. Now, Buffalo ended up taking Keon Coleman with that pick. Not a bad pick. Keon Coleman had one catch for 12 yards last night. Xavier Worthy had six grabs for 85 yards and a touch. Also had a pair of carries for 16 yards. Who got the better end of that deal? The chefs, for sure. So, to me, Kansas City keeps out-drafting Buffalo. They've got a better front office. Kansas City keeps out-coaching Buffalo. They've got a group of better dudes on the headsets. Kansas City's got a better GM because he keeps making all the right moves, whereas the Buffalo Bills keep doing the same thing over and over. And we are now at the point where I would be comfortable to say, do I think Josh Allen is a unclutch quarterback? No. Because he beats everybody that's not Kansas City. He beats Baltimore. He beats Pittsburgh. He beats Denver. He beats everybody that's not KC. And he does so comfortably, he just can't get the Chiefs. And if I got a QB over here that's giving me 237 a pair of tutties, he's putting up 39 on the ground. If I got a guy who can do everything Josh Allen can do, but I keep getting fooled by the same one team, and I can point out, and I'm an idiot with a microphone, but I can point out the Chiefs are better at the GM spot. They're better at the HC spot. They're better at the OC spot. They're better at the DC spot. They're better in drafting. They're better at everything. They're better at everything. Then if I'm Josh Allen, I'm looking at Buffalo. I'm going, you can either completely redo the front office or I want out, because it's just never going to happen here. And that sucks for Bills fans for sure. But what else am I doing here? Do I just keep doing this over and over? Do I just keep going and having my entire organization get shown up by the Chiefs? Or do I go somewhere and have, hey, team, build entirely around me and I'll make this happen? And try to find some. I'm not saying that'll even work. He might go somewhere else and it'll be the exact same damn thing. But we know it's going to be the exact same damn thing in Buffalo. The Chiefs are just an A-list organization, and the Bills refuse to adapt. I don't know what to tell you. That's why Sean McDermott's still the coach there, when I told you all offseason you got to move on. We'll talk more about it when we come back. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Rob Lonzo and you, the Fan Upstate.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region, and the world. It takes Temple Health.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at H&K Group Incorporated. H&K is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. H&K offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. H&K Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm gonna be real honest with you guys. I don't think there's anything that anyone could say to the great one this morning that would dull his shine.
I got to tell you, hadn't been nervous all year long with the Chiefs because that's just what they do. Last night, I was nervous because I thought that secret society's narrative and what they were trying to make happen, including their lackey, Adam Schefter, what they were trying to make happen, I thought they were going to succeed. I thought they were going to overthrow what some are dubbing the evil empire, but they were not able to do that. Mm-hmm, okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's, you know what? Let's talk about this Schefter thing for just a minute here. Because I think there's two different directions.
You're not going to defend Schefter.
By the way, I'm not going to defend Schefter, but I'm not going to attack him either. I'm going to give you my thoughts on it, but I think I fall in the neutral city here. First off, let's point this out before we take a break. Schefter's last tweet came out hours ago, and he made a very interesting point here. In the 9 composite matchups between the Chiefs and the Bills, and this includes both post and regular season, in which Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes both started, the cumulative score, right, that is the total scores for both teams between all 9 games, is 245 to 240, right? These are two really good football teams.
Oh, without a doubt.
Two really good football teams.
Without a doubt.
I think the Chiefs just have, I think it's a better organization. It's just, at this point, it is a better organization that shines on the field in the biggest moments. All right, so this Schefty thing, if you missed it, Adam Schefter put up a tweet in which he started the tweet by saying, and I'm scrolling down his TL because this may shock you, Zoe, but after the, controversy about the Schefty tweet, Schefty has been on an absolute Twitter binge. Like, dude has been hammering out the tweets over and over and over and over. So, basically, Schefter put out a tweet. And the tweet, I found the one that started it all. The tweet that started it all said, "For all those complaining that Patrick Mahomes gets too many calls, relief could soon be on the way. NFL replay assist is expected to expand this offseason into plays that could include the quarterback slide," league sources told ESPN. Now, obviously, not just on this show, but on effectively every show that took place in America, the discussion last week was, do the Chiefs get help? And whether or not you think the discussion is fair, the reality is the folks that were on one side were very fervent. The folks that were on the other were very fervent. And whether they are right or wrong, and this was the whole take I had last week, whether they are right or wrong, the discussion is the discussion. And We asked the question on our text poll of the day, which I forgot to put one up together. That's my bad. We asked the question last week on the text line poll question of the day, do the Chiefs get help? And 80% of this listening audience said yes. 80%. When I scrolled the social media, when this conversation was the narrative, it was about the same ratio nationally, as far as I could tell. And again, I'm not a political scientist or data gatherer, but it was about that much.
Always funny because yesterday, the other game, they were pointing out, people were pointing out, what about this call for Philadelphia? What about this call? What about this call? And people just completely ignore that because that's not fun to talk about. They want to follow the herd. To be the lemmings they are.
I'm gonna say this. I don't feel, if you want to, I'm 100% in. I don't feel right now, after last night's game, I don't feel the necessity to dive back into the do they get help conversation. I think the Shefty thing is more interesting.
No, I agree, because I brought it up earlier. I'm just, if other people thought that way, my timeline wouldn't be full of that stuff still. And I wouldn't be having a conversation with someone since 4 a.m. on Facebook about this. So... About someone who's a good friend who used to work here a long time ago, who's just absolutely bought in on the other thing.
I think that...
And you're being too kind to Schefter, but I kind of expect
I'm not... Here's the thing. I don't think I'm being too kind to Schefty. I think you are placing Schefty into that 80%, and you just vehemently disagree with that 80%, and that's fine. It's your prerogative to do so.
When did my mind change about Schefter?
Let's get
you to... You know when my mind changed about Schefter, and it was the memo. And ever since the memo, that's NFL guy. That's guy who, do you want me to release this now? What do you want me to do, sir? That's that guy.
Let's lay out what Schefty had to say, because I think that having the tweets that went out kind of laid out is important. And I will acknowledge that Schefter got a lot of heat, and there were also a lot of people that were behind him. Schefter reported that the NFL replay assist may expand next year. And one of the things that may go into the conversation about potentially keeping an eye on is quarterback slides, right? Because what triggered a lot of this conversation was obviously the Chiefs-Texans game. And in that Chiefs-Texans game, you can pretty much single it down to three calls that a conversation that had been festering for a couple of years now, I think the dynamite finally blew. You had the roughing the passer call on Will Anderson, where it appeared on video that Anderson got the chest of Mahomes, which would have been a legal hit, but it was called a blow to the head. You had the unnecessary roughness on the run out of bounds, where, again, subjectively, it did appear that Mahomes was on a sprint to the sideline and then slowed right at the sideline in order to be hit and then flopped out of bounds. Did he not? That's up to you to decide. But that was what a lot of people believed. And then, of course, there was the unnecessary roughness on the Mahomes slide, where, and even I came in and said, I don't consider that a slide. I consider the guy fell onto his butt, which, you know, again, how you feel about it is probably going to center your basis on this conversation, or the other way around. Your basis on this conversation may be whether you decide, may justify whether you believe it was a slide or a sit. I thought it was a sit. So Schefty went on and said that for those complaining that Mahomes gets too many calls, relief could soon be on the way, blah, 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 blah. And the reason that Schefty got the hit was because he took, and I, for the record, as a journalist, I will go after Schefter for this, okay? To kind of point out that there is a difference, and it is a thin line to walk. And for Schefty, who's been going on the McAfee podcast, and he goes on all these pods, and when he goes on these pods, and this is what I think has kind of happened here. When he goes on these pods, Schefty is brought on, and he is asked to opine. He is asked to be an editorialist. He is asked to be a person. But then there is Adam Schefter, who is the reporter. I think we should split him into two categories. There's Schefty, the McAfee guest, and then there's Schefter, the journalist. And we all look to, or have historically, some of us don't anymore, like Zoe, historically, we have looked at Adam Schefter, the journalist, as the guy for whom we were going to get the information first. And then we look at Shefty, the guy who goes on the McAfee pod. And to me, there has ordinarily been a pretty clear distinguishment between the guy who goes on and opines and gives his opinion as an editorial guy and the guy who drops the tweets with the news and the info first, Adam Schefter. But what he did in this was kind of blur that line a little bit. Because on one hand, I would say the NFL replay assist expanding, that is a massive bit of news. That's news. That is gathered news. That is something that impacts everyone as an NFL fan, quarterback, player, coach, GM, HC, whatever. That impacts everybody. That's news. And then Shefty framed that news around Patrick Mahomes. Now, I understand why he did it. I don't like why he did it, just so we're clear, but I understand why he did it. When he did it, the national conversation at large was around Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and do they or don't they get calls. It doesn't matter which side of the equation you fall on. It doesn't matter whether you feel like they do or they don't. The reality is, even on this show, the conversation, the national conversation about the NFL, the NFL's number one hot topic was, do the Chiefs get calls? Does Patrick Mahomes get calls? And so for Shefty, because ladies and gentlemen, Diesel and I had a conversation on Friday where we said to each other, welcome to the clickbait generation. When Diesel and I are pulling social media clips, we have come to the reality in watching our numbers about what hits and what doesn't, what gets viewed and what doesn't. The headlines, that when we write a headline that is clickbaity, the views on social media skyrocket. You don't have to like it. Diesel and I did an experiment where we put up two similar videos talking about the same thing, but we clickbait headline in one, and then the other one we just wrote what we were talking about. And the one with the clickbaity headline went through the moon. And the one with the regular headline did not.
Yeah. Did you use the same video?
Not the same video, but the exact same point being made. Okay.
Like if you use the same video, I get it. But if you put one and he put one, then that's not.
Here's what it comes down to. This is not even, as somebody who is, I'm going to say this as blunt as I can. As somebody who does this for a living, the videos I title clickbaity get views and the ones that I just say, here's what we're talking about, don't. That's just how it works every time, whether it's me talking or anybody else. This is why if you go look down the list of YouTube shorts and take note of the headlines on them, even when you're talking about like very neutral guys, they always write a clickbaity headline. We click on clickbait. That's why it's clickbait.
I'm not trying to have this argument with you, but if you put the same video out there and put two different headlines and then found out what happened, I think that's a more apt study of what you're talking about.
All I can tell you is I've been in the PR world for 12 years now. Clickbaity headlines get.
You're trying to do the listen kid thing. And
No. Not listen kid. Go look at the way that even you want to talk about why the big news organizations, the mainstream media take hits. Go look at the way they entitle their headlines now, Lonzo. Every headline is as big and as attention grabbing as it can be. There's a reason for that. But put that aside. Regardless of how we feel about that, at the end of the day, they took this cat. Adam Schefter took this cat, Patrick Mahomes, and he made what is an NFL future-shaping piece, and he centered it around Patrick Mahomes. And that is what the controversy is. It is the framing of the story, making it about Patrick Mahomes when he is reporting news. If Schefter would have put out the headline and it just would have said, breaking news, NFL replay assist is expected to expand this offseason into plays that could include the quarterback slide, and he'd have left it there, there's no heat on Schefter. But because he framed the conversation around Patrick Mahomes, this is just a matter of, it feels like Schefter went after Patrick while trying to be a journalist, while trying to be a neutral reporter. That's all this is to me. He tried to play into where the national conversation was, and he did it poorly. That's all this was to me. I don't have an issue with Schefter reporting the news, and I don't have a problem with Schefter engaging in the Mahomes conversation. You know why? Everyone with a mic and a Twitter account did it. Everybody. Your favorite talking head did it. This is why we had the joke last week about the Rob Brown group text that included Stephen A. Smith and Colin Coward and Rob Brown.
Secret
and
Society, I really wasn't joking.
Exactly.
I think it's a joke. It's not. It is a narrative written. One guy says something and everybody follows. No one has a mind of their own. It was, oh, he, speaking of clickbait, oh, he got all these clicks because he said this. I got to do it too. Everyone's watching him because he said this. Well, I got to do it too. And before you know it, it's everywhere. And I would just like to see people with their own mind. That's all I want to see. But instead, all I see is a bunch of followers.
The word that has defined the past, I say, 15 years of this industry is viral. When I got this job, when I've gotten every job, bet for the cycle, heard the word viral. Our job's to go viral. It just is. Our job's to go viral. And so if a conversation becomes viral, chiming in on that virality and trying to take advantage of it, that's the job. Right? That just is. You try to do it with your own spin and your own take or whatever, but the job is to go viral. When a conversation becomes as large as the Mahomes Chiefs conversation became last week, yes, everybody has to get involved with it. But I also make the point that, and this is something Lonzo and I butted heads about many, many times, it's not always a groupthink conspiracy. Sometimes we just see a lot of people agree. I agreed with those people. I think of if there's one person, scratch that, I don't want to frame it that way because framing's important today. I'll frame it this way. I think I've done a pretty good job over the years. I think I've done it here of being willing to headbutt the narrative when the narrative is something I disagree with. I feel like I've done a pretty good job of being my own guy on the radio. I think I've done a pretty good job of saying, yeah, I don't agree with this popular take. I'm over here. In this case, I agreed with it. I think it was correct. I think there are spots that, including that slide, that Mahomes said. But I also said what? What was my big take that a lot of people didn't have? I think it's because Mahomes gets those calls that he plays into it, and I have zero problem with that. I don't have a problem with Patrick Mahomes. Zero problem with Mahomes. No issue with him. Good luck. Keep going. If they're going to give it to you, take it. That was the framing for me. Schefter going into Mahomes was the reason he got this heat, I think. All right, we'll talk more about this. We'll get into the X's and O's of the 32-29 win by the Kansas City Chiefs over the Buffalo Bills. We'll get into, obviously, the 55-23 butt-whooping of the Eagles over the Commanders, and we'll get into your water cooler cheat sheet when we come back. Lonzo is about to entertain the pants off of you, maybe literally, with a sports flash.
Speaking of which, I thought virality meant something totally different than how you used it. I mean, I could be wrong. The Philadelphia Eagles ended the dream of the upstart Washington Commanders yesterday with a 55-23 win to punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. Philly set a record for points in a conference championship game and for rushing touchdowns, punching it in on the ground seven times with 229 rushing yards. Saquon Barkley recorded 118 of those, while former Clemson Tiger Will Shipley had 77 and a rushing touchdown. The AFC will be represented by Kansas City after they eliminated Buffalo once again, 32-29. The two teams were statistically close, Mahomes throwing for 245 and a touchdown, and Allen 237 and two touchdowns. And Rob forgot to mention Patrick Mahomes ran for two touchdowns. Tune in Wednesday at 5:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Sanford Bulldogs. Furman versus Sanford, right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.